We're looking this morning again at 1 Corinthians, and we're considering, last week, the main thing that I was emphasizing is how we are both saints and called to be sanctified. Okay, so you're already a saint, right? Now, don't think of like St. Francis of Assisi. Okay, some of these prominent churches have sainthooded certain people. It's not really what the Bible talks about when it talks about being a saint. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Okay? I mean, this is writing to the church at Corinth. Okay? Have you ever heard of a church called Corinth Evangelical Church or Corinth Baptist Church? Okay? People don't name their churches after Corinth because there are just some problems there. And yet, Paul would write to them and say to them, right there in verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, those sanctified, called saints. Okay, so you are both saints and you are being sanctified. We looked at that a little bit last week. And we talked about being really dedicated or consecrated to this transformation that God is at work. And that seems to be, you know, that we could take that as kind of an overall theme for the book of Corinthians, this dedication to our consecration, and particularly our turning from the world and worldliness. Right. Well, Paul now is going to give us reasons for dedicating ourselves to this transformation, and they just kind of gush forth from Paul in verses 4 through 9. And he's making this point, God has been so good to you. And if you're like me, you're like, well, I've read all this before, and it doesn't always strike me like, oh, God has been so good to me. I don't often feel really overwhelmed with God's goodness to me, you know, in some form of enthusiasm or awe. And I would suggest, and I think you probably would acknowledge this too, that the problem isn't with what God has done. The problem is with me or with us and our short-sightedness. We don't remember where we were, that God has brought us out of, and we don't remember where we're going, okay? You know, this immediately brought to mind this, I'm sharing another animated film here, this film of this little fish called Dory, okay? Do you remember anything about this fish? Essentially, this fish is has a very short memory, very forgetful. And it feels like all of us are like that, like we don't remember where we were, we don't remember where we're going. And I know all the rage right now is to be in the present. But for the most part, that's almost all that most of us have, because we can't remember where we were, where we're going. And Christianity, all right, think about it this way. It's like you get a new device. Let's say it's like a mobile phone or something. And sometimes when we're a little bit older, you get something that's got all these bells and whistles and all these tricks, and you're like, well, can I send email with it, right? And people are like, yeah, you can send email. In fact, you can send pictures in your email. Oh, that you can take the pictures that you can put into your email in it, and you can do. You don't even have to send an email. You can do a call with it. And not only that, you could do a video call with someone on the other side of the world. And you know what? It doesn't have to cost you any more than your monthly subscription to your broadband provider, of course. But, you know, you can get your groceries delivered to your door. You can pay your bills. You can manage your bank account. You can watch films or old television programs in the actual sequence of which they were released. You can operate your... You can see how to operate your dishwasher, et cetera, et cetera. But we say, yeah, okay, but I can send an email, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Like often when we look at Christianity, it's like, well, it's going to save me from, when I die, from hell, right? Yes, it does. But it's so much more than that. Like why are you stuck on that? Like, God has great things that he's planned and purposed for you. God has a great gospel that he has revealed to you. And we just keep coming back to the one thing, great and glorious as it is, that really is fairly simple. God has been so gracious to you. So this morning, we want to look at some of those benefits of being a saint, benefits of being a saint. And the first thing that we look at here is Paul talks about this enrichment of gifts. Now, we know from the rest of the letter that there's some tension. All right, we read about this, didn't we? There's tension involved even in this enrichment of gifts in this letter. The church tends to act proudly, certain ones acting proudly about possessing certain spiritual gifts. And the Spirit, through Paul, is going to urge them to focus on what? You remember what our last series was about, 1 Corinthians 13? The Spirit is going to urge them to focus on a more excellent way, right, to really pursue love. Here, though, we see that the focus is on God's gracious enrichment of his people with gifts. These gifts are theirs in Christ. Okay, it's not, Paul emphasizes this, doesn't, do you hear him saying, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by or in Christ Jesus. You have these gifts, right? And this could be, kind of helping to frame the later discussion, that these gifts aren't something that you have accomplished yourself. It's not like you're on some super spiritual plane and that therefore you have a particular spiritual gift that other people don't. No, all of these things have been granted to you graciously by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no reason to act proudly about them. We easily miss the big picture when we just focus on our gift or our contribution to the assembly. So what does he say about them? He refers to them as, I'm going to use the term bountiful. We could even say the word comprehensive, one commentator says. You are enriched in, and listen to how he speaks, in everything. Enriched in everything by him. Now, what does he mean by everything? Well, in all utterance and all knowledge, and then if you look down at verse 7, so that you come short in no gift. Okay, do you hear? He's really trying to emphasize the expanse of this, isn't he? Comprehensiveness, the bounty of it. And maybe that, maybe this particular church, he's especially referring to this for them. But what are the two things that he specifically mentions there? All utterance and all knowledge. Okay, the word for utterance is this word that you've heard before. It's a Greek word that you've heard before. It's the word logos. And it means word, but it also has the idea of message, has that concept. So when it says utterance, it's this word, or so for instance, 1 Corinthians 12 uses the same wording, and listen to how it says, for to the one was given the word of wisdom, okay, so the utterance, we might say, of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge, or the utterance of knowledge through the same Spirit. So what I'm saying is, I'm just kind of filling out this word here. To you was given all utterance, whether that be wisdom or knowledge. Right, this has been granted to you. This seems to refer to some spiritual message or spiritual insight or information. And the point that he seems to be making is that they've been enabled to bless one another with spiritual truths that have been revealed to them. Now, we also are able to do that, that there are certain spiritual truths that have been revealed to you that you can encourage and bless one another with. Whether that would be something as profound as God is faithful, or whether that would be that God has helped me through this trial, or that the Lord is my shepherd, right? And that Lord is the Lord Jesus, right? Some of those are very profound truths. I mean, you've heard them all your life, some of you. You've been memorizing the Lord is my shepherd since you don't even remember your memories of learning that verse, right? And that, just because you're familiar, don't let that mean that that isn't important, okay? There are people on the other side of the world who have never learned those truths. But God has been gracious to you so that you know that truth, and to such an extent that you almost take it for granted. Well, of course, the Lord's my shepherd. Of course, Jesus loves me. No, those are great spiritual messages that God has revealed to you that you and I don't often realize. This is a great spiritual benefit. I'm so short-sighted. I only think of what I don't have right now in the moment, when actually, you know, I have so much. In fact, I have a great bounty. All utterance, all knowledge. The spiritual message of insight and information, so that you are, verse 7, that first part of verse 7, you are not lacking in any gift. God gives us everything we need. And I think in principle, you and I would say, yeah, God knows all things. God knows what I need. God provides me just what I need. But in actuality, we feel like I'm not sure God's provided for me in this circumstance. Or I'm not sure about that. So I think we need to wrestle with whether we believe that. Sometimes we want to elevate what we need. What we need, we say, well, I need, and it's actually just something that we want. In moving house, I'm probably going to keep referring back to this because it keeps coming to my mind, but in moving house, you know, over and over again, you see this, you feel like, is this something I need? Or is this just something that I want? At the same time, I don't recommend moving house, and I do recommend moving house because, yeah, it's a great trial and burden, but it's also a great revealer and helper for us. But, you know, God provides everything that you need, and that is so much the case in fellowship in the church, that the fellowship in the church is part of how God encourages and strengthens and serves you. I mean, there are times when I know I am this close to just losing heart in everything. And someone from the church will just do something to serve our family in some way, or to help my wife or to help me. And it'll be just the thing that the Lord uses to persevere me, so that he does everything I need. And the next thing about that is that it is, letter C, if you're following on the outline here, it is confirmatory. If you're just looking at the verse here, verse 6, where it says, he hasn't, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. I think the nature of the expression of these spiritual gifts, the manifestation of them, okay, if you have a spiritual gift that you minister to someone else, you serve someone else, or someone else serves and ministers to you, there's a certain assurance that it works in your heart. There's something confirmatory about that, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. It's kind of like Paul came, he preached the gospel to them, they were converted, and now they have the blessing of being able to minister and be ministered to in such a way that there is this assurance that comes from receiving and exercising your giftedness. And here, that emphasis is on how that giftedness confirms the message about Jesus, the gospel, and the work of God in one's own heart. I mean, I remember this from my younger years, and that is that I could lack assurance, and often it was because I was not committing myself to the Lord and His ministry and His people. I was more focused on myself and what I was doing and what was important to me. And yet what really grants us the assurance is being part of a ministry and being committed to that ministry, right? Just this dedication to our own consecration, our own sacred work that God has called us to, helping the weak, caring for those who cannot pay us back. That's what helps us grow. Yeah, in the same program that I was listening to that had to do with, you know, the AI being like a magic, they were talking about the things that make us human are really our abilities to care for other people, and especially people who cannot help themselves. And with artificial intelligence, they just kind of want to remove all of those people. But actually, what makes us human and what helps us even feel more human is helping people who cannot help you or cannot pay you back. And this is divine also. Remember our whole series on love. I keep reflecting on this series on love in my own heart, my own experience, because I think I wonder how biblically informed my idea of love is, because I think I'm more informed by films or secular thinking about what love is. Because when I read what the Bible talks about and says about love, I think, oh, I didn't really think about love that way. But caring for others, this is what helps us to grow as human people. People who need care are not a burden to us. They actually make us. You think about how a mother cares and nurtures a child. Parents do this, and you know they just love these children. And there are many things about the children that they probably don't even like, but they love them, and they're committed to that child's well-being their whole life. You know, no matter what stage that child's going through, no matter rebellious or difficult, the thing that a parent feels is, I love this child. I'm committed to them. I want the best for them because I love them. And that's all part of, you know, our humanness, our care for one another. Well, God put this in us. And this is what happens, I think, very often in the church. God gives us love for one another that way. Like people can see you loving loving your own children that way, but what if you loved other people within the fellowship that way? I've been more and more convinced by this that when the Lord said, this is going to be how people know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And I think maybe he was referring to more the particular kind of love more than the overflow of it, in the sense that you love people the way that other people in society don't love people. You love people when they can't pay you back. You love people, right, when they're difficult. Right? That's the kind of love that God has. That's the kind of love that's remarkable. That's how people know that you're Jesus's disciples, because you love like he loves. And that's really what we want to see in the church. And that's going to be confirmatory. No one could work that love in you but the Lord's work in your heart by the Spirit. All right, so we've seen one of the benefits of being a saint is that they've been enriched, okay, in a comprehensive way, in such a way that it brings confirmation and assurance to them. But then there also is this promise of a future. When you read this, it's like every single line is something for our benefit. You know, this verse 6, there's this encouragement, this confirmation, the testimony of Christ confirmed in you. So that, verse 7, you come short in no gift. That's to your benefit. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a benefit for you. Right, who will also confirm you to the end. That's a benefit for you, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a benefit to you. And now he says, and God is faithful to do that. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, it's like every single line he underscores this. This is a benefit to you. You're enriched in every way, in all knowledge, in all utterance, right? So that you have the testimony of Christ confirmed in you. All of these things are for your benefit. Well, promise of a future. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly wait. The blessing of this is that though we are enriched in every way, right, it's not like it's all here and now, okay? Like, yes, you have all these good things right now, but actually, that's only to kind of tide you over, right, until the full benefit of your faith becoming sight comes to fruition. We have a future hope that is even brighter. We are not living for now. We are pilgrims and sojourners like Abraham. Right? Hebrews 11 talks about this, that this is what was true of the saints of old. They seek a country whose builder and maker is God. They're not just, right, I'm back to our moving and our possessions, right? They're not just living for the things right now. They have perspective on all of that. Yes, you have things. You're a steward of those things for God's purposes and for God's kingdom. But you are a pilgrim, right? You are a sojourner. You're someone who's here for a time, but actually you look for another country. You look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again for you. We'll raise the living and the dead. Not only do we wait eagerly, but we securely, all right, that's probably not the best sentence, but you'll see, we securely wait. We wait in security, confirmation, for who will also confirm you to the end. We have this discussion in Christian circles. Do I persevere or does God persevere me? In many respects, we say, well, both. You have to endure to the end. The one who endures to the end will be saved. But at the same time, the Bible has statements like this, that God is the one who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The one who began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. So do you persevere Yes, you persevere. You've got to keep going. You've got to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. But God is always there at just the right time, and he does just the right thing to help your faith tick over, as it were. You know, as for me, you know, my steps had almost slipped, Psalm 73 says. But ultimately, it's God who maintains you. And here, Paul is going to assert that. Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are kept strong to the end. Remember, here's a church that's struggling with carnality, okay, fleshliness and selfishness. Paul will say to them, you are yet fleshly. You are acting according to your human desires, chapter 3, right? Or he'll reflect on, you know, some of the serious problems that they're tolerating in their church, or they're taking one another to court, or some of them think that it might be okay to visit prostitutes. And Paul writes to them, and he's saying to them that God will keep you to the end, keep you strong till the end, blameless. But part of the way that God does that is by letters like this that correct and rebuke and instruct. Right? God's word is living and active, and it does this for you. It's all inspired by God for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof. Sometimes you just need to be told, don't do that. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, right? This is like when you set a bone, okay? It just, like, everything's out of joint and we've got to fix this, okay? The Bible corrects you. It puts things right. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, child training in righteousness. It's like, it feels like I just read the same things over and over. Yeah, that's how it is for child training, isn't it? You keep going over the same things because that's what the child needs, this repetition that helps you. Well, there's child training. Every time you go through a trial, you need James 1. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Right? All of us need those passages again and again and again. And it's what God uses to persevere us and to keep us blameless, strong to the end. And how is God going to back all this up? Well, he's got his own name and character. God is faithful. He is the Amen, the faithful one, by whom you were called into fellowship. God backs all of this up. He will not fail in what he has promised. He's the one who put you into fellowship with his Son and with other believers here this morning. And he is the one who not only has given but sustains all of our blessings. And so we can look to him and trust in him. And so we have to keep our focus, right? Not forgetting behind, not neglecting what is ahead of us. Think of the benefits you have as a believer. There's this contentment. There's this gratitude. You know, we're moving into this house and we just kind of had to make a decision that this would be the particular date this last week that we would move. And there's still a lot of loose ends, right? The water company doesn't know that I'm there yet. So I've still got to chase them down. And I've finally arranged my phone broadband. And so it's going to be a week or so before that all gets set up. And there's still things to do in the house, redecorating. And there's everything in your life is in boxes, right? All of these kinds of things. We have loads of loose ends like that. But there's an overall picture to this, right? And that is, you know, we have a home. I mean, we have a place, and it belongs to the bank, but essentially belongs to us. And the overall picture can be so bright. If we don't just focus on you know, well, this person didn't say hi to me this morning, right? Those kinds of things, they are important. I'm not minimizing that, but the overall picture is so bright that something like that should not ruin your whole day. We have many things to be thankful for. We have many reasons to be content with what the Lord has provided for us. And God has secured our blessings with His own Son. Over and over again, the Bible reminds you of those things. And so, you know, your problem and my problem is that we're not walking by faith. We're just walking by sight. And if we don't see God work some kind of miracle for us, we tend to really falter and fail. But the Christian life is walking by faith. And here are all the benefits. I mean, you know, you may not have seen it. You may not have seen this house that we're in, but it's there, right? There is this promised blessing that God has for you that Jesus reveals to us, that He knows about, and He's shown Himself to be trustworthy. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness in assuring us all of these promises. We pray this morning that we would take encouragement from this passage, that You have provided many things for us, things that are precious to us in the Lord Jesus, that You've enriched us in many different ways with gifts to be a blessing to one another. And often the gifts that are a great blessing are the ones that tend to be minimized or looked down on or not even thought of. And yet, Father, we pray that we would also pursue that more excellent way of loving one another. Enrich us in that great gift, we pray. And Father, grant to anyone here this morning that sound assurance that You intend for Your people to have, that they belong to You and Your Son belongs to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.